Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September the 25th, an absolutely beautiful, absolutely gorgeous day here in North Texas. I'm not sure if autumn is officially here because it's 82 right now. I mean, it's been in the mid to high 70s all day today, but it's just, I mean, gorgeous outside. It's just a blue sky, what they like to call Chamber of Commerce Day, and that's exactly what it looks like up here. Well, we've been talking about Justice Ginsburg most of the week. We did some very good shows. We started out, of course, with Bill Katz, and then we spoke with Barry Castleman, Frank Burke last night. So we've been focusing a lot on that issue, and I have a few things to say about that as well today. But I want to begin. I've got to deal with this because it's getting totally, completely out of hand. The idea that somehow Trump is not going to leave the White House if he loses the election. The idea that, you know, on Inauguration Day next 2021, that they're going to have to send the Marines and, you know, somehow, you know, capture, you know, Trump and pull him out of the White House in some kind of a military raid operation. And it's just completely insane. It's completely, absolutely, totally insane. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that if Trump loses, he'll walk out of the White House and go over to the Capitol, hear the speech, and then go home. That's what you do when you lose. Now, I don't think he's going to lose, but that's what will happen. So why are there so many people out there peddling this garbage that somehow President Trump is not going to leave the White House? I think it's because they got nothing else to talk about. They don't want to talk about any issues, so they're just they're just peddling whatever somebody in the media is willing to repeat. Now, in all fairness, if I was advising President Trump, I would say, look, stop talking about this. If somebody says, are you going to respect the election results, just say yes and do away with it. Stop talking about this. It's not helping you one bit, even though I think all of us know what President Trump is saying. He's not saying that he's not going to respect the results. He's simply saying, look, I got to wait for the results. And given the insanity of these states voting by mail and all of that, it may be a few weeks before we know. It may be. You know, I don't think this will be extended into the month of January. I think we'll have actually a new president fairly soon. But still, I mean, President Trump is simply, as they like to say, hedging his bets, which is completely normal. But the idea that somehow, if let's say President Trump is officially declared, or Joe Biden is officially declared the winner, that somehow President Trump is going to be sitting there, you know, hiding in the Oval Office, that's just ridiculous. He will leave. He will leave like everybody else who's left that position before, who's lost the election or the re-election. So I think it's just a lot of garbage, frankly, being peddled by a lot of Democrats who don't have any other issue to talk about. And that's what this is all about, just a lot of distractions because they don't want to talk about a lot of issues. And the truth is that a lot of Democrats are very worried about Joe Biden, the candidate. And they're worried that on Tuesday night, when they have this debate, that Joe Biden could end up looking really bad. Now, look, how bad is he going to look? I don't know. Rush Limbaugh was saying today, and Rush has a pretty good sense for these things. Rush was saying that he still doesn't believe that they're going to have the debate. And the debate is Tuesday night. So Rush is saying, no, we may not have the debate. Well, I was saying that myself about a month ago. I think they are going to have the debate right now, but I think they'll throw some – I'm sure they'll try to do something to somehow keep Joe Biden away from President Trump physically. I think they may say, well, let's do it by Zoom or let's do it by Skype or whatever and try to keep President Trump and Joe Biden apart, because I think Trump is very intimidating face to face, and I think Joe Biden knows that. But the result, the bottom line is that President Trump will leave the White House if he loses. He will leave the White House, and that's the end of the story. He will leave the White House, and there's a new president and a new government, and that's what's going to happen. Now, all of this garbage about having to use the military to remove him and all this kind of garbage, that's all that it is, just a lot of garbage, just a total, complete amount of garbage. And as I said before, it's being peddled by Democrats because, frankly, they have nothing else to talk about. There's nothing. If you're a Democrat, you don't have anything to talk about. Not exactly. They don't have a lot of issues. I'll just put it that way. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Again, talking about Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg. It's been, I think, the week of Ginsburg, to say the least. She's getting a lot of attention. You know, she's obviously, many people in the left are disappointed that she passed away. And, you know, that's okay with me. I'm not going to criticize people. She was obviously a big person for a lot of liberals in the country. I never thought that, you know, I thought she was a fine person. I mean, I'm not knocking her personally. And I thought the way she handled her death was remarkable. The way she, you know, fought cancer and went to work despite all the cancer problems. I mean, I thought it was remarkable. So I think she gets a lot of credit for that. As far as their opinions, no, I'm not a big fan of abortion. I'm not a big fan of the expansion of government. And I think she was very much of a, what I would just call a classic liberal, but more than that, a very ideological liberal who really didn't have the ability to look at the issue, I think, the way a judge should look at the issue. The whole idea of the Supreme Court is that you got people who are pretty good judges who look at the issue completely, rather than being locked in with a particular point of view. And there's no doubt in my mind that you could tell, for example, in her opinions about abortion, there's no question in my mind that she felt that abortion was a reproductive right. Well, that's okay if you feel that way, but you should be in the legislature, not the Supreme Court, if you feel that way. But anyway, she's going to be replaced, and on Saturday we're going to find out who the choice is going to be. It's starting to look more and more like it's going to be Amy Barrett, a judge from Indiana, a lady who, by all the messages I've seen, has a lot of support within the conservative community. People see her as a very good judge, a person who will, sort of in the tradition, I guess, of Scalia or somebody like that. Apparently, she worked for Scalia, I believe, at one point in her young life, and a very remarkable woman, a mother of seven, two adopted kids as well. So an amazing lady who I think will do very well in the Supreme Court. So I think that's who it's going to be, and we'll find out Saturday evening, but I'm pretty sure that that's who it's going to be, and President Trump will tell us on Saturday evening. Now, there's a lot of talk from the Democrats. The Democrats are very frustrated, obviously, with the Supreme Court. And some of it I can understand. They were obviously frustrated 4 years ago when the Republican majority in the Senate did not consider President Obama's candidate, Judge Garland, back then. And they're obviously frustrated now, not so much with the Republicans, I think, but I think they're just frustrated with the timing of all of this. I mean, Judge Ginsburg could have retired in 2015, and she would have been replaced by President Obama, who would have obviously replaced her with somebody different than President Trump. So I think in a weird sort of way, in a way, I think a lot of liberals are angry that she didn't retire before. they don't want to say that publicly, but I'm pretty sure that that's what frustrates them. But she's going to be replaced, and now a lot of Democrats are suggesting the idea of term limits, putting a term limit on a member of the Supreme Court. Now, I think it's an awful idea. Not the first time I've heard it, by the way. This has been going around, and to tell you the truth, some of us on our side, on the Republican side, were suggesting term limits at other times. So it's not a crazy radical idea, but to say the least, it is what the Democrats are proposing now. I think it's a bad idea. I think judges should, it's a lifetime appointment. But I think where the judges have gone wrong here over the last few years is that many of these judges seem to think that they're supposed to hang around until they die. And I think that that has made some of these judges, frankly, I would say a little too old for the job. And Justice Ginsburg is a good example of this, even though she worked, literally until the day she died. She would have been better off retiring 4 or 5 years ago and given a younger justice an opportunity to carry out, you know, their legacy or whatever you want to call it. So I think what we should be encouraging judges to do in the future is to retire. And, you know, you don't have to set a time limit on it, but I think everybody knows when it's time to retire. Now, we have a couple of judges in there now, Stephen Geyer and Clarence Thomas, who are getting up there. And I certainly hope that Clarence Thomas gets the message. If President Trump is reelected, I hope he gets the message that, you know what, it may not be a bad idea for me to leave during the Trump term, because that way I know I'm going to be replaced by President Trump. So, I mean, I hope he gets that idea. I'm not trying to drive him out, but I just think that you don't want to put yourself in this situation where you're literally betting, you know, sort of trying to be in there when you're not a healthy person. Now, again, I don't know anything about Justice Thomas and his health. For all I know, he's in good health, but he's an older guy. He's been there now. He's going to be almost 30 years in the Supreme Court. And I think, you know, at some point you have to say, you know what, I've did my best and I'm going to retire and I'm going to spend some time, in the case of Justice Thomas, driving around the country. I understand he likes to do that with his wife. But term limits, no, I don't like that idea. But I think we should somehow persuade more justices that they don't have to stay in the job for the rest of their lives. They don't have to die in the Supreme Court of old age. They need to get out at some point. Not term limits, but I think there ought to be some kind of an understanding among the justices. You know, there comes a point in time when, you know, if I have to be constantly going to the hospital, as was the case with Justice Ginsburg, I think she should have known years ago that it would have been better off for her, actually, and for the party to retire early. So term limits, no. Retirement, yeah. I think that's always the best way to do it. Well, speaking of the Supreme Court, it was on this day in 1789 that the Bill of Rights was approved. The Bill of Rights is actually the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. That's all that it is. It's known as the Bill of Rights because it outlines, of course, many of the individual rights that we have, and it was something that many of the states required in order to ratify the Constitution. But, you know, the Bill of Rights, we're all familiar with the different rights, you know, your freedom of speech, all kinds of things that are in the Bill of Rights, including the 10th Amendment, which is, of course, a very simple idea that whatever is not here belongs to the states. In other words, if it's not enumerated in the U.S. Constitution, then it belongs to the states. And I think the 10th Amendment is, frankly, one of the least appreciated amendments. And I hope that now that the court is changing more in a conservative direction, that more and more justices look at some of these issues and say, you know what, thanks for asking me about it, but this is really an issue for the states and for the voters, and just send it right back. And let more states and legislatures actually vote for these things rather than have the Supreme Court deciding so many issues that frankly they have no business deciding, such as abortion and same-sex marriage, just to name two, for example. So maybe now that we have a new court, maybe we can move more in the direction of respecting the 10th Amendment. Well, on this day in history, a quick one, 1981, Nolan Ryan pitched his fifth no-hitter. He had seven altogether, but he pitched number five this year, 1981. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later.